Good morning, everyone. Having a fun time here in the old studio.
With the old broadcaster?
Well, I'll tell you that you're all excited. You're top. You know, we do a big three every morning.
We do.
But your big story was happy birthday to John Williams.
John Williams.
All right, so he writes Indiana Jones. He's 87 years old. He also writes... He also writes... Superman. Wow, this guy.
Great.
Every major big thing.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You got that one?
Yeah, I do. How about Jurassic Park?
That's got to be my favorite.
That's a great song.
So majestic.
How about Schindler's List?
Beautiful.
Haunting.
This guy's unbelievable.
You guys were going over the Grammy songs?
Oh, you want to do the Grammy songs
too?
No.
You think of the Grammy songs you did.
Yeah.
How many of those are going to be hanging around like this stuff?
None.
How about that
Maybe
Lady
in
Gaga?
The middle.
Da, 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 da.
She screeches with
Bradley Cooper.
No way. No, those songs.
Cardi B?
No.
Kendrick Lamar?
And
Drake?
Everybody, and the millennials, I guarantee you, the millennials know all of those John Williams themes.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful.
Well, happy birthday, John Williams, 87.
From Floral Park. He's a Queens boy.
Isn't that something? I didn't know that. That's great.
I'd love to get him on the phone. Natalie, can you track him down?
Yeah, let's get John Williams on. And we'll play all the music again. And then we don't have to talk.
Dun,
we'll
dun, dun,
but we do have a real big three. It's war. Jeff Bezos, Mr. Amazon and Washington Post. He's attacking the National Enquirer and their chief, David Pecker, charging them with extortion and blackmail, saying the Enquirer threatened to publish nude photos of Bezos. Who wants to see those? Or as the New York Post put it, Bezos exposes Pecker. One of their, I think that's second best between headless body found in topless bar. This
that's
is number
classic
two.
New York Post
this
headline.
Is two. Bezos exposes Pecker. Also in the big three, this should be interesting. Within the half hour, the acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker, will testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Has he steered clear of the Mueller investigation? What does he know? When did he know it? Did he talk to the president about it? These are the questions that Democrats are going to ask him.
Oh, yeah. This is just going to be a little platform for the Democrats to grandstand and denounce the president. That's all this hearing is.
You have a problem with that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And rounding out the big three, the governor throws down the gauntlet, either congestion pricing or a 30% increase in fares and tolls. He said there is no plan C.
Well, why couldn't there be a plan C? Why couldn't there be a 15% hike on the fares and a dollar congestion pricing? Why can't he sort of put the two together and come up with a plan C?
Don't know. You have to ask him.
I should be the governor.
Yeah, Governor Riedel. That would be a thrill.
You imagine that?
Oh my
God! We'd all be on bicycles,
singing show tunes.
Drinking rosé.
Yeah, right.
Wearing fruity shirts.
God, spare us. Hey, you know who's having his physical today?
Oh, who?
The President of the United States.
He is the picture of health, Lynn.
Well, this is unusual. I find this very interesting. Even his own spokesperson said he's been given a plan for healthy eating and living, and he says... the president admits he has not followed it religiously. This is from the presidential spokesperson.
Why should he be different than anybody else? Tell me how many people went to the doctor last year, gave them all, you got to do this, you got to do that. Did it for maybe a week. And then
remember last time around he had his physical and he came in like suspiciously 1 pound under obese.
You know, they don't talk about very much. I don't think your beloved Barack Obama ever gave up smoking.
Yeah.
So there.
He wasn't my beloved. I did not vote for him.
Smoked like a
chimney.
Did
I tell you I didn't vote for him the second time around? But no, that never registers in your gubernatorial head.
No, it doesn't.
Because
you voted for the loser.
Mitt Romney. Voted for Mitt Romney. Where'd that get me?
He looks pretty fit, Mitt Romney. Yeah. Fit Mitt.
Fit Mitt. This show's going right off the rails. You remember Loretta Bobbitt, don't you?
I certainly do. Every guy remembers Loretta Bobbitt. Ay, ay, ay.
Ouch.
Whoa. Boy.
The date was June the 23rd, 1993. This is like three blind mice cut off his penis with a kitchen knife.
Mrs. El Chapo.
You ever see such a sight in your life? Loretta, poor John Wayne Bobbitt. She accused him of raping and abusing her. So on the night of June 23rd, 1993, after he fell asleep, whack, cut off his penis with a kitchen knife. Now... There is some good news here.
Yes.
It was reattached following a 10-hour surgery. And this looks like a put-on. It's not. John Wayne went on to have a career in porn.
He did.
I saw him on TV. He said every woman wants to be with him. He gets, you know, just so many requests because
really?
Of, yeah, they want to see
it. They want to see it.
That's all they want to do is see it?
Yeah.
Let's see.
He was just an interview.
Let's see what it looks like. John Wayne Bobbitt.
You're going to look.
Oh, do not
There's
Google
no picture
that on
of it.
The computer.
Come on, let's see.
You think you are Jeff Bezos?
Come on, this is research.
By the way, Lorena Bobbitt, you know what she wound up doing?
What?
She went on to performing brisses.
very cute.
I worked all morning on
so
that.
So I didn't realize it was reattached.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you think? You went through life as a eunuch?
And so, he said it's just fine.
Really? It still works?
Works fine?
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
That was some surgery. They connected a lot of blood vessels.
They probably did a little extra work down there.
Yeah, they can put
they enhanced them a little bit?
They can put some stuff in there.
Maybe that's why the girls want to see them.
I don't know.
Natalie, any interest in seeing this guy?
The only thing that I have to say is, I remember the story happening, and I remember her allegations of sexual abuse.
Yeah, that's the serious side of it.
That is the serious side of it. And if that story was happening today, it would be interesting to see how it would be perceived. Because right now it's a joke.
Yeah.
But
right.
That isn't a joke.
It was a big joke. It was a joke as soon as it happened.
As soon as it happened.
Leave it to Natalie to throw cold
water
on her.
Boy, we were having fun here.
Yeah, man.
Yucking up a storm. We got a pecker at the Inquirer. We got a pecker head in Bezos. We got a slice pecker. Natalie comes into the hashtag MeToo era.
Yay. Anyway. Somebody has to put these three guys in the room down a little bit.
Lorena Bobbitt. She was on a Today Show today. She... I guess we really haven't heard from her.
I haven't really heard
really
from her.
Haven't heard from her over the years. This goes back to 1993. Let's do the math. Was that 20, almost 26 years ago? So she says, does she regret what she did?
Oh my God, how could you regret something that was not planned? I mean, how could you? You have to understand, I wasn't in my right mindset.
I was looking.
Apparently not.
Were there ever any police charges? It doesn't say in this story. I mean, if she's accusing him of rape and she's, you know, chopping off his wee-wee. I mean, is there any?
A self-defense?
Just call it a wee-wee.
Yeah, anyway, her memory is a little foggy about how it happened.
I don't remember anything, how it happened, but I honestly don't even want to know what happened because I will be traumatized again.
Lorraine and John Wayne Bobbitt, an affair to dismember.
Where do they live? She has an odd little accent there.
That was good. You missed that letter.
I heard you. Fair to remember.
Fair to dismember.
Oh,
idiot.
Well, that was clever. That's very clever.
Thank you.
A fair to dismember. Very good. And she went on to perform brisses.
It's still not good.
Second time doesn't help.
No.
I think it's because just the act that it was a severe organ, a male organ.
It was a wee wee.
Changes the whole perspective.
Well, it does.
Of the story.
I mean, if she had cut off a finger, no one would know who
Nobody
she is
would
today.
Care.
She wouldn't be on a Today Show
right,
today
really
if she cut off a finger.
She went right for it.
Man.
Nobody had ever heard of anything like
Talk
that.
Talk about
before.
A weed whacker.
Woo. Right. Boy. Lizzie Borden, a modern day Lizzie. Hey, has she heard from has she had any?
Apparently wasn't circumcised.
Well.
He is now.
She took care of it. That's why she went out to have a career as... No, they did... It's an ex-husband, but what about any contact over the years?
I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that he's reached out to you repeatedly.
Repeatedly, in many occasions, yes. I don't
wee-wee
know
back.
Why. I'm guessing control.
What types of correspondence have you gotten from him?
Valentine's cards and notes, love notes.
Valentine's card. Dear honey, thanks for making me the man I am today.
Wait a minute, hold on. Here's the name of one of the porn movies he was in.
What?
John Wayne Bobbitt, Uncut.
Thank you. See, Natalie's getting serious. Natalie just said, he was
Get
acquitted of rape.
Did I say rape?
No, rape.
Wait,
I said
wait.
I said
wait. With his wee wee.
He used my wee wee to wape.
He sends her Valentine's cards. Oh, God. Okay. Very good. Should we play John Williams music some more?
Uncut. Sorry, John Wayne Bobbitt. It's a, wait a minute. Another movie is called Frankenpenis.
What's it called?
Frankenpenis.
Frankenpenis.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Natalie, save us, please.
Well, thank you, Lorraine.
We're going to save you. We're going to go to a break right now.
Really? Yeah. You want to do the tease, Natalie? So we thank Loretta Bobbitt for coming on today's show and dredging up such pleasant memories.
There you go.
And happy Valentine's Day to you and your ex. Hey, when we return, we're going to head to Washington. That's where the acting attorney general is about to take the hot seat. What are they hoping to find out? We shall find out ourselves. Hey, take a listen to WR Tonight with Joe Concha and Lisa Wheel. That's this evening between 6 and 9. Now, the traffic nightmare with Bernie Viter.
Oh, boy, is it a mess out there when it comes to the tunnels and the bridges in this city. WOR's Alice Stockton-Rossini-Lynn is trying to get to New Jersey. She's trying to get into the Lincoln Tunnel.
Good luck with that.
Alice is now with us. What are you, stuck in the parking lot?
I'm stuck in freaking fumes here. It's unbelievable. I've been sitting here for, I don't know, when was the last time I talked to Natalie? About an hour ago. Are you seeing anything over there? So we're just, like, sitting here and, you know, fumes, headlights, no updates, really. I'm looking on Twitter. Supposedly a disabled vehicle's been removed from the Lincoln Tunnel. But it's a tri-frickin-fecta here. We got the Holland Tunnel with a fire. We had a crash at the GWB. At one point, all three Hudson River crossings were closed. I just need to get home. It's Friday afternoon, and it's raining, okay? So, like, this is really frustrating. That's all I can tell you.
Alice
really
isn't happy. And you don't want to get on her bad side.
People are honking their horns and trying to cut me off like that's going to help. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It's an amazing study in human idiocy.
Boy, okay, Alice.
How are you going to cut me off? We're not going anywhere. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Alice,
this is road rage and Furley before us.
This is great.
Keep going, Alice.
Alice, you have a weapon in your car?
Don't.
This could be good.
Get the crowbar out. Hit him.
My head
Zen.
Is killing me.
Alice, deep breaths. Deep
Alice?
Breaths. I can't take a deep breath. Yes,
yeah, there's fumes there. Weren't you listening, Natalie? Oh, well, have a nice weekend, Alice.
Alice, I'll check in with you a little bit.
Okay, drive safe.
Love you, Alice.
Drive safe, Alice.
She's hilarious.
Drive safe.
She's hilarious.
That's funny. All right, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is about to go before the House Judiciary Committee. They're going to grill him. What does he know about the Mueller report? Is he going to make it public? Let's check in with ABC News correspondent Mike Levine down in Capitol Hill. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning. I have to say, there's going to be some fuming and people cutting off here in Washington in the Capitol today.
Oh, yeah.
The Democrats want answers from Whitaker, and they're probably not going to get what they want.
All right. So what is it that the Democrats want out of him? What are they going to squeeze him on, Mike?
What they really want is answers to what he has talked about with the president. What have Trump and him talked about in terms of the Mueller investigation, in terms of other things the Justice Department is doing? And he said this morning, he announced early on in our paper statement that he's not going to talk about those things. He's going to let the president assert executive privilege if he wants to.
Wow. So when all is said and done, if he says, I'm not talking executive privilege, you know, the committee agreed not to subpoena him. Are they stuck? What are they going to do? How are they going to make him talk?
No, you know, they agreed not to subpoena him today. They can subpoena him tomorrow. They can subpoena him the day after. What Democrats say is that they're going to look at his answers today, and they're going to go back to their offices, and they're going to decide whether they need to subpoena him. They're going to take it on a case-by-case basis in terms of his answers and decide whether a subpoena is warranted. They really want these answers. They believe that President Trump has been trying to meddle in law enforcement here, and they're trying to find some sort of evidence of that.
He's not gonna give it up. No way. All right, Mike Levine, ABC News correspondent down on Capitol Hill. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I you know, these things, and I've always felt this way about congressional hearings, you know, other than the Watergate hearings.
Yeah.
But in general, congressional hearings, you know, they make a lot of noise, and everyone gets up there, and the Democrats are going to try to browbeat them. But by tomorrow, there'll be something else. In fact, if I'm correct, I think at some point today you're going to hear an agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats on immigration and the wall. I really feel that way.
Right. Yeah, I agree with the hearings. But I was just thinking, you mentioned the Watergate hearings because I remember being riveted as a kid. I would say the three most riveting hearings in my lifetime, Watergate, Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And yep. Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, they were. You're right.
I mean, those were historic making.
And before our time, it was McCarthy.
Absolutely.
Because that's before our time. But most of the time, it's just, you know, yabba, 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 dabba,
dabba. No, it's, you know, it's Cory Booker, I, Spartacus, all that nonsense and all that.
Do you agree with me that there'll be an agreement today between the Democrats and Republicans? They say it has to come today because it takes a week to get the legislation put together because we're facing another shutdown a week from today. And I just think both sides are smart enough to say enough. You know, we can't do this again.
No, I don't think there's going to be a government shutdown. I think you're right. I think, and I don't know what the compromise is going to be, but it'll be enough that Pelosi can say he didn't get any money for the wall, and Trump will say, I got money for the wall.
I think he gave an opening in that has been underplayed in the State of the Union. He said we should have wall. He didn't say see the shining sea for the wall. In the State of the Union, he said we should have a wall in those areas that the Border Patrol seems to feel is most necessary. I think that's a concession. And I think the Democrats should run with that. Give them some money. Okay, maybe it's not $5.8 billion, but maybe don't put a price tag on it.
Yep.
Maybe give a number for border security. Do whatever the hell you want with it. If you want to put it in some areas, fine. And let's get on with it. Because we can't have a shutdown. We can't have an emergency declaration. We just have to have a government that sort of works or tries to work.
Well, what we can have is news at 9:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning there, Michael. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos claims the National Enquirer tried to blackmail him. He's released emails with AMI saying that they would not publish nude pictures of Bezos and his girlfriend if he publicly stated that the National Enquirer's coverage of him was not politically motivated. So we put the question to legal analyst Royal Oaks to kind of sort things out here.
One wild card is, how did the Enquirer get the private pictures and text? If they committed any crimes or invaded anybody's privacy, that undermines their right to publish, and it strengthens the claim by Bezos that this is textbook blackmail or extortion.
Well, the National Enquirer has just said that they believe they acted lawfully on the Bezos story, but will investigate. Bezos implies that politics may be involved because the owner of the National Enquirer has close ties to President Trump. Governor Cuomo telling the state legislature pass congestion pricing or else the MTA commuters will have to pay 30% more. He also wants a shakeup of the MTA management, saying right now it's dysfunctional.
There are factions and there are sub-factions. A more functional board would be President Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Rush Limbaugh, and Nancy Pelosi.
Aha! Funny.
Hilarious.
Huh? Just a barrel of laughs. Cuomo says the MTA routinely wastes money and can't get projects done on time. Virginia Democrats calling for an investigation into sexual assault allegations against the Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. He's accused of forcing himself on a woman at the 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston, with the three top-ranking Virginia politicians who happen to be Democrats facing scandals. Many prominent Democrats want a thorough investigation before they take any action here. Got another top official dragged into this. This guy's a Republican, though. The Senate Minority Leader Thomas Normant was the managing editor of a yearbook at the Virginia Military Institute in 1968 that included several students in blackface and racial slurs, but he says that wasn't his work. And finally, here we have some sad news. British actor Albert Finney has died.
Oh, no. I love Albert Finney.
So do I. He's a fabulous actor. You know, he's known for Tom Jones and James Bond thriller Skyfall. He was 82, died peacefully, according to his family, after a short illness. Hmm. Also, he had 5 Oscar nominations. Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, yes. He played Hercule Poirot. Brilliant.
The Dresser. Under the Volcano,
yep.
Aaron Brockovich. The best movie.
Oh, Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah,
he was terrific in that.
The best movie I remember Albert Finney in was a 2007 movie called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. It's a great movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ethan Hawke are in it. These two guys, Hoffman and Hawke, play brothers. They rob their family jewelry store to get some money. Albert Finney's the father. It goes horribly wrong. If you just check it out, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Oh, I want to check this. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, sorry to report there. Albert Finney dead at the age of 82.
Well, he was great with Julia. It's 9:39. If you're just joining us, Joe Bartlett gave us the news that the great actor, the English actor Albert Finney, has passed.
Yeah, terrific actor.
82. And as it turns out, we had scheduled Joe Neumeier to come on to our movie guide to talk about the new releases. But before we get to Lego 2 and Cold Pursuit, which is the Liam Neeson movie, Albert Finney, one of the greats. Now, he's nominated a bunch of times. Did he ever win one of those Oscars?
Five times. I love Albert Finney. I one of the pleasures of when I was at the Daily News is I sat down for a nice long interview with him over lunch one time for Big Fish back in like the movie, Big Fish was back in like 2003 or four. He's a delight, and every performance of his, honestly, he kind of spans generations and styles. Mm-hmm. You know, those five Oscar nominations were for sort of showy performances, but he goes from like those angry young man performances of like Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, and a movie called The Entertainer back in the early 60s.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Through like Murder on the Orient Express, he's my favorite Hercule Poirot. Mm-hmm. He's Scrooge in the musical Scrooge from 1970, one of my favorite Scrooges, actually. Through movies like Shoot the Moon in the early 80s and Miller's Crossing, yep. The Coen Brothers movie, he is just phenomenal. Anytime you sort of see him in a movie, he's always surprising. He was always terrific, and he was just a delight in person and on screen. He was just one of my favorites.
Now, I was just going through the filmography, so he was nominated five times but didn't win. He did win some Golden Globes and SAG Awards, but never won an Oscar.
He did never win an Oscar, and he could pretty much do anything. I remember there was a headline in like the early 80s when he did Shoot the Moon, where it was sort of said like, after a long time under makeup or in strange performances, like the natural Albert Finney was back, and that was after something like Annie, and after a movie called Looker, and after Murder on the Orient Express, and Scrooge, and a lot of things where he did makeup. But he also did things like, there's a great movie called Two for the Road.
Oh, I love it. I was just going to say, it's my favorite Finney movie with Audrey Hepburn. Beautiful movie.
It's a beautiful movie. It's told in sort of a disjointed flashback style about a couple going, you know, they're on a trip and kind of looking at various aspects of their relationship. I love it. And he imbued every role with intelligence. He always felt smart. He always felt interesting. He felt lived in. He was one of those great British actors like Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton who came from the theater and had like a rough life and kind of, you know, kind of living off the streets and kind of a tough existence as a young man, turned that into his performances, brought that to them. And I really, he was just terrific in almost everything.
Speaking of that generation of actor, now, Joe, you said you had lunch with him. Did he drink at lunch? Because those guys were famous for how much they could put away.
They were famous. Richard Harris has that great story of how, like, he one time went out to, like, get a drink, and, you know, his wife found out she was divorced 2 weeks later.
That's true,
right? So that generation of guys, right, they're incredible. No, he did not drink I think he had ginger ale or something at our lunch in 2003. So I think by that time, by his early 70s, he was a little off of it. But even then, like Aaron Brockovich, he got an Oscar nomination for that, for Best Supporting Actor for that. And he showed up in the James Bond film, Skyfall, I think. He was a workhorse. He was also of that generation of guys. Probably, you know, exactly that type of thing that you're talking about, Michael. Could probably go out drinking the whole night, probably three nights in a row, and would have probably shown up on the set the next day, spot on, and giving you exactly what you needed in that performance, you know?
No question about it.
Yeah. He was in movies from 1960 through 2012, so that's 42 years, and made 50 movies. Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I thought his role in Aaron Brockovich as the boss was just terrific. It was just done with grace and sensitivity and humor. Right. It was good.
Yep.
And wonderfully finicky as Hercule Poirot in Murder on the Orient Express. One of the great, great movies.
Totally great. And again, my favorite of those performances. I mean, obviously, Peter Ustinov is great, too, but he sort of brought something else to it. And on TV, you know, David Suchet and a lot of people. But for me, like, Finney sort of captured something, and he was sort of bigger than life, which is what that character needs to be.
Yeah.
And funny and smart and fly and everything like that. Yeah. And he also did a great American accent, like, as he did in Miller's Crossing, playing this kind of gangster, and Aaron Brockovich, Len, that you were mentioning. He did a great, you know, American accent. He kind of brought this sort of blusteriness to it. He was just a delight in apps. Anytime you're scrolling on a DVR, or you're looking at things on cable, if you see Albert Finney's in a movie, stop and watch it because it's terrific and he's always great.
I'm with Joe Neumeier, our movie guy here at WOR, remembering Albert Finney, who passed today at 82. All right, we got a couple of movies out this weekend. Lego 2, which is cute because it's called Lego Movie 2. The second part.
That's where you're attaching them all. Yeah, you know, I give it 3 stars. A lot of people have been saying, oh, it's like just a big commercial for the toys. It's like, well, that's what they all are. That's what all, you know, most movies are for kids are actually kind of big commercials for toys. This one literally is I kind of enjoyed it. It's got a lot of, you know, pop culture and movie references in it. There's a whole, like, Mad Max Fury Road thing that goes on in the first 15 minutes. It's not my favorite of these Lego movies. I mean, the first one was really fun, I thought, and it has that great song, Everything is Awesome, that sticks in your head. It tries to do something like that here, doesn't succeed. I actually like the Lego Batman movie out of all of them. I thought that was my favorite one. If you've got to have a favorite Lego movie, I guess that's the one.
How many have there been?
There have been technically four. There's been, this is the second one of the Legos, and there was the Lego Ninjago movie, which is sort of like a Japanese theme thing. But the, you know, the kids will probably add a couple of stars to it. They'll probably, just like a Lego, add a couple of parts to it. Yeah. So I give it three. Kids may walk out saying, oh, it's a five-star movie. If they're like 8 years old, they may really groove on it. But but it's got enough to keep you awake if you're a mom or dad. You won't get bored doing it.
That's on the phone with WOR movie bit of man Joe Neumeier. How is the Liam Neeson movie that got Liam Neeson in a lot of trouble for some unfortunate things he said about wanting to kill black people?
Yeah, unfortunately, the movie's okay. You see, this is the thing, you know, this controversy kind of overshadows the movie. The movie's kind of fun. It's kind of the same thing that he does all the time, but it's a remake of a Norwegian film, and it's got sort of this kind of, we mentioned the Coen brothers earlier, a Coen brothers Fargo-ish sort of sense of humor to it, where he plays a kind of a basic guy in a Nevada town, where he's sort of in a snowy Nevada town, and he's just an average guy, but he comes from a crime family. When his son is killed, he kind of has to find this kind of inner gangster inside of him, and he goes through all of these hitmen to get to the drug dealer who he suspects is the cause of his son's death. And he's okay in there. I mean, he's always Liam Neeson, but he's sort of it's an interesting sort of role that's got some humor to it. This controversy, though, of what he was saying, it just shows you've got to get these actors away from those press junkets. Like, they do 50 of them a day for like 3 days straight. They get a little loopy, and by the time they get to like their second day in the junkets, they kind of aren't really aware of what they're saying. And I think it ends up, you know, not being the right thing. Sidney Poitier said something very interesting once. He said when he's got a movie coming out, he told Denzel Washington this. He said, if I've got a movie coming out, he kind of doesn't do a lot of press, because if they see you all week, they aren't going to pay to see you on the weekend.
Yeah, good
and
point.
I thought that was an interesting point, right? Yeah.
Very good point.
Well, the name of the movie is Cold Pursuit. Now, how many stars are you giving this one?
I give three, because if you take away, obviously, all the crazy controversy surrounding it, it's a fun action thriller, and it's kind of got a good performance by Liam Neeson in it. So ignore all the stuff that's going on in real life, and if you go see the movie, you kind of come out thinking, oh, it's a good, fun, little, punky little action thriller, you know?
Hey, Joe, we have been wishing a happy birthday to the great John Williams. He's 87 today. We've been playing all of his favorite theme songs. All of his theme songs. What's your favorite?
That's the one. It's Raiders.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders,
that's
huh?
it. Yeah, it
though I also love the Superman theme song, obviously. Which
Glenn's got them all.
Got them all.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah. Joe, I agree with you. I love those two.
Yeah, they're really good. Everything he did with Spielberg is so terrific, and I think that there's just such a power to all of those movies. So those are the two. If I got to walk into a room, those are the two I'm playing.
But you know, the most haunting one is from Schindler's List.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Hey, we're 2 weeks out from the Oscars, so as of this minute, this subject to change, who's going to win Best Picture?
I'm going to go with Green Book, the movie that you and I have been talking about. Yeah, a lot of people think Roma. It's pretty much solidified for me that I think that there's enough kind of weird blowback against Netflix, and I think there's also sort of a sense of people like Roma, but they don't love it, so my money's on Green Book right now, and I'll check back with you in 2 weeks, but I think that's the one.
I'll stick with Bohemian Rhapsody. Thanks, Joe Neumeier.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next
week. Talk to you next week. All right, coming up next... Why couldn't Mr. Osman get his license plate? Well, it may have something to do with the way he spells his name.
He's got to put it behind him.
You know, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Hey, take a listen tonight to Joe Concha and Lise Wheel. That's coming up tonight between 6 and 9. But right now, Ernie Viner with traffic.
Well, we're wrapping things up here on a Friday, but stick around for Mark Simone coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. His guest is restaurateur Drew Nepourant.
Oh, yeah.
Very talented
From
guy.
Nobu.
From
absolutely.
Nobu. Terrific, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we had some breaking news, some sad news this morning. The great British actor Albert Finney has died at age 82. We were just on the phone with WOR movie Minuteman Joe Neumeier. And, excuse me, Joe and I both thought one of our favorite Albert Finney performances, Hercule Poirot on Murder on the Orient Express.
Daisy Armstrong.
And the ratchet was a murderer?
Well, no. The actual murderer was tried, sentenced, and electrocuted. But he was only the number two. The subordinates of a boss whom at first he was too terrified to identify. Only on the eve of his electrocution did he give the name of the boss who by then had disappeared with ransom money.
What do you think of that, Lynn?
I was pretty. I was thinking for an English accent.
J'accuse you, Bobbin.
To a French guy.
He was. He That's was. Well, actually, Hercule Poirot is not French.
Was he Belgian?
He's Belgian, of course. That's the running joke in all of the Agatha Christie books. The great Albert Finney, dead at 82 years
old. So, as usual, we have some great stuff up on the website. You have to see this video. This is our must-see video of the day. This guy is arrested in an Indiana jail. He, like, sneaks into the infirmary, or he's in the infirmary. He, like, goes into the ceiling of the jail.
Oh, I saw this.
And he tries to, and he breaks through the ceiling. Where does he land? He lands right in the booking area of the jail. So the cops are standing around, and here comes this cloud falling through the ceiling. The video's priceless.
They just booked him again.
Hello.
There he is.
Yeah. So talk about an echo chamber. So there he is. Back. So you got to see this video at 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. Look at this Yahoo after his name is Blaze Ayers. He's not blazing smart for sure. 28-year-old goes through the ceiling, winds up in the booking area. Way to go, Blaze.
Now, there's a guy in Canada, in Saskatchewan. His name is David Osman. David Osman, that's how he pronounces it.
But spells it
differently, with an A, not an O. So he tried to get a license plate with his name on it. But since his name is spelled Assman, he was rejected because they don't want to have a license plate that says Osman.
Well, but...
Kiss my ass.
You arse. Well, as Natalie reminded us, there was a Seinfeld episode which exactly had that license plate, and it involved, of course, Kramer.
Ass man. No, these don't belong to me.
So he goes to the DMV, and they hand him a license plate that says Ass Man on it.
No, I'm not the Ass Man. I think there's been a mistake.
What's your name again?
Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Kramer. You are the Ass Man.
Well, David Osman says, hey, it's my name. I've always had it. I'm not ashamed of it. There's nothing bad about it.
Well, it would be tough to roll down the highway and you see the guy in a car. If you see a picture of him, he's really...
Well, I mean, you think that's
tough?
He
looks more like an Osman.
You think that's tough? What's it like in high school when your name is Osman?
Well, that's true, too.
They got to be making a lot of money.
I told you I had a kid at camp named Richard Liss. You figure
what?
It out. His name was Richard Liss.
Richard Liss?
Yeah, that was his name.
Dick Liss.
Oh, there you go. He's such a quick study, isn't he?
I don't miss a trick around here, baby.
So, 9 years old.
Natalie just gave me the chop it off thing. What are you, Lorena Bobbitt over there?
How's that for a name?
Dick Liss.
No, she gave you that little emoji. Hey, this seemed like a hell of a wedding. This guy gets married. What does the groom do? He hits on the 15-year-old waitress.
Oh, my God.
And he gets in a drunken brawl. Because he hits on the waitress, he follows the teen into a bathroom stall and gropes her, according to the prosecutors. Another genius here. This is in Pennsylvania. His name is Matthew Amers, charged in connection with what they call the nightmare nuptials. Did anybody ask his wife what she thought of
his
this?
His wife is pretty cute, too.
Well, it doesn't say how their marriage is holding up. But he does face numerous charges, including indecent assault, imprisonment of a minor, and disorderly conduct. Way to go, groom. Go grope the 15-year-old waitress. Say your own wedding, you moron.
Yes, the honeymoon is over.
I think so.
Hey, two elderly Canadian women. They've not been identified, but they got into a fight over, get this, a game of bingo. One was 79.
Going to fight a bit. What? You don't have B14, you have B15. What's the fight?
Well, one was 79, and she took the 86-year-old's usual seat.
Oh, it's a seat.
So they got into a physical altercation, escalating into a large brawl.
A bingo brawl.
And the senior settled down after the cops arrived. No charges were filed.
Yeah.
And no one was injured, fortunately.
Really?
But
yeah.
That's it. So, woo.
But Mr. Osman showed up.
Right. Exactly. All right. Hey, if you missed anything today, check out the website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Don't forget, Mark Simone is coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. But today is the birthday of the great film composer, John Williams. So let's go out with a little Indiana Jones.
87 years old today.